Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Johnson & Johnson stock ticker JNJ trades at $155.22 per share. Since March of 2023, their stock is up 1.25%. Right now, is Johnson & Johnson stock a smart buy? That's the big question we're tackling today. In this video, we're going to dive deep into a fundamental analysis of Johnson & Johnson. We'll use a checklist of Warren Buffett's most important financial numbers, compare the stock against competitors, and then figure out three different prices to really understand what Johnson & Johnson is worth in today's market. Stay with me till the end because our final fair value and rating might just surprise you. And there's more. I'll share a special bonus that could be the deciding factor when adding J&J stock to your portfolio. So is this possibly a great chance to make money? Let's find out together. In the last year, Johnson & Johnson trails the S&P 500, which is up 31%. This is also the case over the last 5 years, with J&J stock only up 11%, while the market is up 84%. When we compare Johnson & Johnson to its peers Pfizer, Bristol-Myers Squibb, and Merck, we can see all four of them have trailed the market. J&J is the second best performer of this group behind Merck Pharmaceutical, which is up 58%. Bristol-Myers Squibb comes in at third place, slightly below Johnson & Johnson, and Pfizer is the big loser, down 32% in the last 5 years. Even still, over time, pharmaceutical companies have been big winners. Since 1980, all of these stocks besides Bristol-Myers Squibb beat the S&P 500 by quite a bit. In addition to the returns in their stock, J&J is a dividend king of more than 60 years that today pays a market-beating 3% dividend yield. Today, this dividend king trades just $11 over its 52-week low, and that's down $20 from their 52-week high. Getting started with metric number one, we want their average return on capital to be above 14%. Over the long run, the return you can expect in a stock will roughly match its return on capital numbers. An average business only earns 7% returns. So when we look for a benchmark that's double this, we can build in margin of safety based on the quality of the company. In the case of Johnson & Johnson, they've had above average return on capital in all of the last 5 years. These returns have been pretty steady around the high teens up toward the low 20%. In the last year, their return on capital increased to around 23%, and when they're averaged out in the last 5 years, Johnson & Johnson earns around 20% returns on capital. That's nearly 3 times better than a normal business, and this is a huge check on metric number one. Now, what's been going on with their business? With the spinoff of its consumer health segment known as Kenvue, Johnson & Johnson is now focused on its pharmaceutical and medical device businesses. Unfortunately, the company has potentially enormous litigation expenses that weigh on the stock, as well as the upcoming patent loss for blockbuster drug Stelara. In August of 2024, J&J completed the spinoff of their consumer health business Kenvue. This spinoff reduced their shares outstanding and did so in a tax-free manner for existing shareholders. Around the timing of the spinoff, the companies made some huge acquisitions, including a $16.6 billion deal to acquire Abiomed. That's now a standalone business in their medtech segment. Recently, J&J also announced a deal for $10 billion to acquire Ambrx Biopharma. Ambrx develops anti-drug conjugates that work with chemotherapy to target and kill cancer cells. With the 2022 passage of the Inflation Reduction Act, Medicare now has the power to negotiate drug prices. J&J is unique in that they had the most drugs on the list for price negotiations. J&J also has 2 major legal issues. One is pending litigation around the opioid crisis. The other are proposed payments for talcum powder lawsuits that could be in the range of $10 to $15 billion. Next, we want to see growth in their sales, earnings, and free cash flows. Simply put, it's harder to make mistakes investing into a growing business. In the last 5 years, Johnson & Johnson has grown their sales from $82 to $85 billion. At the same time, their net incomes look like they're up more than double. However, this comes from a $22 billion bump from discontinued operations due to that Kenvue spinoff. The company also paid $6.9 billion in legal settlements in their last 12 months, and that again may be something you see more of in their future. In reality, their net incomes are slightly down over this time. We see that more when we look at the company's cash flows, which are down 11% in the last 5 years. Overall, it's an X on metric number two. Next, we want to look at Johnson & Johnson from the view of an individual shareholder. We want their earnings per share to be growing. Because of their Kenvue spinoff, the company has reduced their share count in addition to the shares they bought back over this time. We're not including that benefit from their discontinued operations here. So again, in reality, Johnson & Johnson's earnings per share are down. They've declined from $5.63 to $5.20. This is an X on metric number three. Next, we want to see something similar but even more important. Here we want free cash flow per share growth. Free cash flows are the lifeblood of any business. Ultimately, it's how most companies are valued. In a similar situation here, even though Johnson & Johnson has decreased their shares outstanding, their free cash flows have fallen more than this. Their free cash flows per share have declined from $7.53 in 2019 to $7.02 in 2023. It's another X on metric number four. So far, we only have one check through our first four metrics. Will Johnson & Johnson do better in the second half of our analysis? We'll find out, but why don't we check in on our bonus first? Right now, Johnson & Johnson pays above a 3% dividend yield. They're a dividend king who's grown their payments for more than 60 years. But is their dividend safe, especially with their cash flows coming down recently? That's what we want to figure out as our bonus. Here, we want their dividends to be supported by their free cash flows. This is the case both today and in all of the last 5 years. Johnson & Johnson has maintained steady dividend growth, and even though their cash flows have declined, they still have a reasonable dividend payout ratio. Things could get a little hairier in the future if their cash flows keep declining and Johnson & Johnson keeps trying to raise their dividend. This is something to keep an eye on, but it doesn't seem like it's a concern today. This is a check on our bonus. Great companies can earn high returns on capital, grow, and do so with little debt. In metric number five, we want the sum of their cash flows to be above their net debt. That's the case for Johnson & Johnson. The company only has $7.5 billion in net debt, and in the last 5 years alone, they brought in $95 billion of free cash flow. That's huge. They could pay off all their net debt with less than a half year's worth of cash. It means they're massively cash flow generative, and it's exactly what we want to see. Another check here on metric number five. With two checks so far, how much is the company possibly worth? The big metric of them all, metric number six, which also serves as our first valuation, we want Johnson & Johnson's average free cash flow divided by their enterprise value to be greater than 5%. This helps us get a yield comparable to the market's historical average. Today, Johnson & Johnson, when we add their market cap and their net debt together, has a $381.5 billion enterprise value, so it looks at the company more like it's a private business. In an average year over this time, Johnson & Johnson brings in $19 billion of free cash flow. When that's divided by their enterprise value, it gives us a 5% average free cash flow yield. That's right at the mark we're looking for. Currently, in their last 12 months, Johnson & Johnson brought in $17.8 billion of free cash flow. When that's divided by their enterprise value, it gives us a 4.7% current free cash flow yield. That's just below the benchmark, so these are both split. However, free cash flows can be lumpy year to year, so that's why we're looking for an average here. It means it's a check on metric number six. Now, don't just run out and go buy the business. You're going to want to see what our next two values are before you stay for the final value and rating at the end of the video. Now, everything we've covered so far is important, but there's still something missing. We need to give the company some credit for their growth, too. In a DCF, we're taking their free cash flows and using historical growth assumptions to project these into the future. It's up to you to do your own homework and figure out if this is accurate for Johnson & Johnson or not. With recent mergers and acquisitions and their Kenvue spinoff, some of these numbers may not be as accurate for the business. That's why even though they're a dividend king, they're only a somewhat predictable company. If we take their average 3-year free cash flows and assume these grow at 4% in each of the next 10 years, then in the following decade, we'll assume these only grow at 3%. If we want a market beating 15% rate of return, which is what Warren Buffett looks for from his investments, a DCF valuation at today's multiples for Johnson & Johnson gives it a fair value of $56 per share. Keep some key points in mind. Johnson & Johnson has underperformed the market in the last decade. Today, it looks like on some of their rougher valuation metrics, despite their big net incomes, which as we saw were artificially boosted, the company looks like it's trading just below its median multiples over this time, so it may not outperform in the future. That's the case as we look at some other means of valuing Johnson & Johnson, which today are somewhat split on the company. A GF value serves as our third valuation. This takes into account analyst estimates for the future and how the company is traded compared to its past. Today, it comes in at $188 per share. Now, so far, we've looked at most of the numbers for Johnson & Johnson, but Warren Buffett really cares about a business's qualities. Let's learn what these are for J&J before we put them together with their numbers to get our final values at the end of the video. Let's start with the long thesis first. Number one, the majority of J&J's near-term patent losses are for products that are hard to manufacture. This should reduce the intensity of generic competition. Number two, diverse healthcare segments help insulate J&J from downturns in the overall economy, offering a defensive growth opportunity with a steady and likely growing dividend. Number three, several of J&J's key next-generation pipeline drugs are specialty drugs. These tend to carry strong pricing power as well as lower regulatory hurdles for approvals. But it's not all positives. Let's look at a short thesis as well. Number one, J&J's late-stage drug pipeline is relatively weak for the size of the company. This could create long-term headwinds for growth. Number two, patent pressures in the drug group are increasing over the next several years, and they'll likely slow the growth of the firm's largest division. Number three, several of J&J's key drugs are facing increasing competition, which could slow the growth rate of the drug group. Those three factors are all coming at Johnson & Johnson's biggest segment, pharmaceuticals. Compared to its peers, Johnson & Johnson is the third largest pharmaceutical company in the world. Besides the recent breakouts from Eli Lilly and Novo Nordisk, it seems like it trades relatively in line with a lot of these other companies' multiples. With a handful of exceptions, its valuations don't look too out of place compared to its industry. Now let's put it all together for Johnson & Johnson. This far in our fundamental stock analysis of J&J, we learned the company goes 3-for-6 on the Select 6 analysis. The company's done a lot of deal-making in the last handful of years with their big Kenvue spinoff and two major acquisitions. There's been plenty of deal-making in the pharmaceutical industry, and even still, Johnson & Johnson earns high returns on capital, they've grown their top line, they look like they generate a ton of free cash flow compared to their debt position, and they also seem to be trading for a reasonable valuation. However, the company has some headwinds to look out for, and both their earnings and their free cash flows are down in their last 5 years. Keep in mind, this analysis isn't financial advice. It's not a buy or sell recommendation of any security. Please use common sense and do what's right for you. When we put everything together for Johnson & Johnson, a true fair value for the company comes in at around $133 per share. That's down $22 from today's stock price, and it's down $42 from a street target price. Fair value is a range, but Johnson & Johnson looks like it's slightly overvalued. If you want to learn about more opportunities in the market, watch this next video and sign up for our investing tools to make requests, track more than 45 stocks, and get exclusive bonus coverage.